Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The question now is, what about international response, the lack of international response? What are the implications of this war from an international perspective? Irina Zuckerman is a human rights and national security lawyer based in the United States. Irina, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Apparently she is not on yet. We are going to be getting her on in a short while. I believe now she is on. Irina Zuckerman, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Yes, I can hear you.
There we go. Thank you for joining us. Israel, of course, is very, very active. Iran is firing extensively at civilian targets. We know that there's been limited support in terms of Israel defense from the other nations. But other than that, that seems to be it. France is debating it. What can we just understand the legality around this war? What does international law say about this conflict?
To be clear, France has actually already provided Israel with intelligence support that has allowed this operation to take place. And apparently Israel did not request specific types of help from France, which included drone hits and other types of intelligence. So the debate is about broader and more public support, but not about some of the logistic and intelligence support that has already been provided. And Israel has not approached some of the countries, apparently. But regarding the legal issues, this was obviously a preemptive strike. According to the intelligence that Israel was relying on, Iran was within days of creating enough material to make 50 nuclear bombs. And apparently they were going to be operational. They were not just going to be sitting in the warehouse. There was a possibility of a very significant attack, and that possibility was highly likely. Now, the international law, of course, allows for self-defense. Now, what the debate is about is not whether self-defense in general terms is allowed, but whether this preemptive strike qualifies as such, especially given in light of U.S. intelligence earlier assessments, which claimed that Iran is not working on a nuclear program, nuclear weapon at all, which seems highly unlikely, especially in light of the official international watchdog reports. This is, of course, what sparked a lot of noise from the usual suspects, but even that has been relatively muted in light of Iran's persistent threats to Israel. And even the French foreign minister came out saying that Iran's nuclear program is a threat to both Europe and Israel.
So it's very, very clear, obviously, that Iran is pursuing this. Otherwise, what was the negotiation about? Why would they have needed to negotiate with the U.S. anyway? There's little doubt about that. And there's little doubt about the fact that they intended to destroy Israel. They've said it. They've said it over and over and over again. There's an imminent threat. And Israel takes the initiative with a preemptive strike. In terms of international law and in terms of the support for democracies, should other nations be stepping in as a matter of course, even without Israel specifically asking them to do so?
That depends on what stepping in means. Does Israel actually require international assistance in terms of intelligence, logistic coordination, and ensuring that its air defenses are supplied at all times? Without a question, that should be an understood matter. Providing airspace necessarily, providing every form of non-lethal assistance, yes. But the question is, What does it say? But is but the biggest question, of course, is should US be providing military support to fully destroy the nuclear sites? And the question should be yes, because at this point it's clear that this war is at a point where it's where anything other than destroying those sites will guarantee a comeback and survival of these intentions. And frankly, anything that degrades Iran's capabilities at this point is good for the entire world, and not just for Israel, because those weapons are threats to everybody, which is why the Arab states have been so reluctant to engage. They are concerned about their own security. They are concerned that some of those weapons could be tactical weapons that could be passed off to various proxies and end up in the midst of their own countries one of these days if Israel does not succeed in fully destroying the program, and it's a real risk. US should be stepping in that sense, because there are questions whether Israel has the capacity to go as deep as needed underground of some of those facilities. It can certainly damage them, but to really finish the program, it needs to be fully destroyed, and for that we need a very significant air force, and it could take weeks if not months of persistent attacks to do that kind of damage. The Fordo nuclear facility is actually located under a mountain.
So that's what's interesting to me, is that it's very clear that Israel can do some damage and significant damage to the regime in general. It can definitely thwart or slow down the nuclear program, but it can't really, through normal types of bombing and attacks, it can't really destroy what is deep beneath the surface. What happens? How? What are the options available to stop it completely?
Well, for now, Israel can do as much as it can with its own capacity and see how far it gets. That's a risk, because if you're not sure how far you're able to take it, you know, your limits could be tested by the adversary's own military. And Iran has been quite persistent in that regard. But we do know that the leadership is scared, that they have requested and passed on messages to Israel through various countries. We know that senior leadership has relocated to underground bunkers in various cities deep inside Iran, where it's harder to get to them. And we know that Donald Trump has told Israel not to assassinate Ayatollah Khamenei, who is the only decision maker who can stop the nuclear program and dismantle it on its own. And of course, there's concern about potential chaos in the event that the regime falls unexpectedly. But quite frankly, a chaotic environment is an easier environment to operate in that regard. When there's no clear chain of command in Iran, that would be better for Israel and would buy Israel more time to do more of the job. So U.S. hesitation on that end is not really justified by military objectives.
Is it not a danger that an assassination, a potential assassination of the Khamenei, who presents himself as a religious leader, what we think about that is a separate issue, but he presents as a religious leader, is there not a danger that that would cause more backlash globally, let's say from the Muslim world, if a religious leader was assassinated?
He's not just a religious leader. He is very much a political leader, and everybody knows that. His decisions inform everything that happens inside the country. Second, the only backlash that would come mostly from the Shia world, and not all Shia are united about Iran's system. Azerbaijan, for instance, follows an entirely different religious authority despite being a Shia majority.
Right.
I don't think that backlash would be significant, other than some noise, simply because Iran has become such a troublemaker for the entire world. Of course, its proxies and others would not be supportive of this, but for everyone else, Israel would be doing a favor.
Right. How do you see the international legal aspect playing out over the next few days?
Well, look, South Africa is already claiming that Israel is committing genocide. No one is claiming that Israel is committing genocide in Iran. Its military strikes have been done with great precisions, and they've all been targeting very clear military targets. That's not to say there aren't any civilian casualties. It's not clear how many, and given Iran's indifference to human life and weak air defenses, it's possible that there will be loss of civilian life. But overall, it's very clear that Israel's intentions are entirely military and entirely within the conventional humanitarian law context. That said, of course, there are going to be parties trying to abuse the international legal system to portray Israel as an aggressor, even though the Islamic Republic has been at war with the West since 1979, having assassinated US Marines, having gone after Israeli business people around the world, having attempted to poison water in Israel through assorted plots. It has already launched subversive measures that would have led to extensive loss of human life. And this is just the combination of the decades of efforts to destroy Israel by various means. The only thing that was stopping Iran is that it was too weak to attempt so in the past, but not for lack of trying.
That is all we have time for, unfortunately. Irina Zuckerman, thank you as always. It is about to go 7 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Thank you for joining us. Good morning.